Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. Looking around, I see we have, as well as the usual congregation, we have one or two old friends. Nice to see you again. One or two people who are new with us. But whether you're old or new or regular attender, you're very welcome. And if you're able to do so, please, after the service, come through and spend a bit of time, have a chat with us and a cup of tea or coffee. Notices are on the sheet. I just want to draw attention to two or three things that aren't on it. First of all, our normal monthly prayer meeting is this evening at 7 o'clock in June Taylor's house. And just advance notice that we're actually planning to do something a bit different in future in terms of our prayer meetings. More about that in October. But for this month and the second Sunday of October as well, we'll meet in June's house. After that, things may be a bit different. I've had a notice here from, it's about the Guild, from Susan Gilliland. It's to do with Carbridge Guilds in Carbridge Church on Thursday of this coming week at 7 o'clock. And the Reverend Gordon Strang is speaking about the Zambia Project on empowering teenage mothers. So if any of you are free and would like to go down there, that's Thursday evening. And more locally, there is in the village hall in Urquhart on this coming Wednesday from 2:30 to 4:30 an afternoon tea, but it's also an opportunity to go along and discuss with other folks from the area about things we would like to see happening in the two communities, both Urquhart and Lambride. I know one or two people are planning to go, but if you're free and are able to go to that, you'd be very welcome, and I'm sure people would be glad to see you there and be able to talk to you about just our vision and plans and their vision and plans for these two communities. I think that's all I need to say, but Tim is going to come and say a little bit and just update us about his work with the young people. Tim.
Good morning, everyone. So just to update everyone that we had our first after-school children's club on Thursday, and we had three children come. They had a great time. They were very excited that it's going to be an every week event. Two came thinking it was a one-off, so when I said, no, it's actually every week, wow! So that's certainly positive. And it's also meant we've made connections with two new families, new to the church, which is brilliant. That's really positive. And the Scripture Union group is firmly established in Lambride Primary. That's going really well, with eight P6 children attending on Thursday. And they're really enjoying it. And I had a nice email this week from a parent of a Primary 7 child who used to come last year. They were very concerned that they want to let me know they will be coming back, but they've got their P1 buddies to look after at lunchtime just now. And I thought that was so nice that they got their mom to send an email just to say, yes, I will be coming back, but I'm currently busy at lunchtime. So that was just to give everyone an update on the club and our Scripture Union ministry.
Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you and to share even the service with you this morning. And therefore, I invite you, let us worship together. Father, Jesus and Holy Spirit, you are Creator God, source and spirit of our being. And therefore, we gather in worship before you. We join our voices in praise. For you have wonderfully made us in all diversity, the shades of our skins, the texture of our hair, the loop, the walls, the arches of our fingerprints, and even the coils of our DNA. And yet each one of us is known and cherished by you, who loves us, who protects us, and who let us flourish in life. Therefore, we praise you. And when we go into this service, we ask you to guide us with your Holy Spirit. We praise you because you are the giver, the creator not only of us, but of creation around us. And we see you, your magnificence, your brilliance in everything around us. Help us when we praise you that it's not only something we do within this church building, but within our lives. And when we go outside, may the service towards you and others continue. We pray this in your name as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I greet you in the name of our Creator, Father, our Savior, Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit. And when the Lord greets us, let us greet him back, and we sing our first theme from CH4197, as we are gathered, Jesus is here. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, you carried your cross, and we confess that so often in our lives' journey, we set down our own cross and actually then take it up again, and we neglect that you carried it for us. And therefore, we ask you to forgive us when our relationships in terms of you, of others, sometimes takes a downfall. And so many times in our lives, it's something silly, saying the wrong word at the wrong time, acting in an unchristian way. And other times, it's big and heavy things. And therefore, we bring everything to you this morning and we ask you, forgive us. Help us through the work of your Spirit to think of what we will say next, of what and how we will act when you ask of us to act or do things. At the same time, not being slow in spreading your news, the good news of life, but living it. And therefore we pray, forgive us our sins, and let your Holy Spirit overflow our hearts and our thoughts, that our mindset and our lives would be that of following in your footsteps as your disciples. With our different spiritualities, our different personality types, knowing that your Spirit will guide us using the gifts you gave us. Thank you for your forgiveness, and thank you that we may live as your redeemed children, loved by you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I ask you to join me in praying the Lord's Prayer together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's sing praises to the Lord. Sing to God a new song of worship. Sing to God new song.
Today's reading is from Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, and this can be found on page 1094 on the Pew Bibles. Let's hear the word of Lord. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and the signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Thanks be to God for the reading of his holy word.
Thank you for the reading. The past seven, or yes, I think it's seven or six sermons that I did was on the Gospel of Luke and focusing on the gathering of Jesus around tables, whether it be dining tables or on invitation, whether it be taxpayers or common people, men, women, Pharisees, marginalized. And this morning, I thought of ending the series also from the writings of Luke and that we've just heard from Acts chapter 2, also thinking about eating together and sharing meals together. Now, last week, we also had communion, and in retrospect, I was thinking of what communion means to us and to myself again, And when we think of communion, how do we think and ponder on it? How do we see it? Is it something personal? Is it a shared meal? And what our different perspectives might be. And now I have, unfortunately, and I want to say the unfortunate privilege to give my perspective from this side. But I wonder, there's a lot of perspectives going through your thoughts of how you would see communion. But before I start on giving a bit of retrospective insight of communion, the passage or the episode we've just read follows the big sermon which Peter had in Jerusalem after the Holy Spirit was poured out unto the people, and 3,000 new members were added to the church. So that's the background. And then we heard that fellow believers ate together and they spent time together. All right, I'll pick up there again. When I was a child in the Reformed tradition in South Africa, communion was quite a different and a strange thing. I would remember when you would enter communion, and back in those days, children were not allowed to take part in communion. Only 12 years ago, yes, it changed in South Africa that children would also be, or families would take part in communion. I remember when you would enter a church back home, it was, the atmosphere was quite thick and holy. It was different. It was in the front of the church, also like we have here, there was a big, big, long table. And I also always wondered, for how long did the Kirk session take time to neatly pin down and dress the tablecloth to perfection over the table? And then all the bread and wine perfectly cut into small white pieces, which we do still today, but it was perfect, parallel on the table. And obviously a delicate netting that goes over it. And usually on Sundays, we as a congregation would sing prior to the service, but not on a communion Sunday. The organ would play only slow, soft music, Laura, maybe Adagio of Albinoni. And everything was really a different atmosphere. And there was nothing wrong with it. And I still remember in the church where I grew up, the elders would walk in black suits and dressed up to the collar in white. And the deacons would sit this side and the elders would sit this side. And everything was very silent and holy. And when they would hand out the communion, it was something very personal. And I would stare around the congregation, which my mom didn't fancy or like. You know, you get that. Well, I know some moms even had needles. Pinching, yes, sorry, yes. Do you remember that, Karin and Peter? Yes, I have friends here from South Africa, so I'm not pulling things out of a hat, yes. And if you got the pinch or the elbow, you know what's waiting for you. It's not communion at home. It's something else. Yes. And I remember looking around, peeking around. People would be very somber, very firmly, very focused on the little piece of bread and the glass of wine, with a frown on the face, usually. And if you'd ask people, and still to this day, and don't get me wrong, communion is something personal. But I would say in those days, it wasn't spoken about that much or as sharing faith. It was seen as a personal thing only between you as the user of the communion and the Lord, and that was it. And then I would, later days, I would wonder, because in our communion order of service, the minister would usually have the following words: the Lord Jesus invites us to a joyful feast. For the fourth instance, communion proclaims the coming of Jesus again, the proclamation of our future. And I would think, is this the future? Is this the joy? And sometimes I would be scared. seeing a gloomy struck face, frowning, thinking of the future around this piece of bread and wine. All right. Well, the background, as I said, to our passage this morning, and it's not specifically about communion, but it's more about community and eating together. I said it was the Holy Spirit that was poured out, and then obviously it was Peter's great sermon or speech, which added 3,000 people to the church of fellow believers. And then we hear this following about how believers lived back in the early church. Acts 2 tells us very clearly. The believers shared a common purpose, and every day they spent much time together at the temple area where they would worship together. They also ate together in their homes. They were happy, and they shared their food with joyful hearts. Did you hear that? They were happy, and they shared their food with joyful hearts, which we could also do. And South Africans, we do it very well when we eat. We are quite joyful. But we differ when we get to the communion. And as I said, there's different parts and aspects of the communion. But I was wondering, is it really a proclamation of the future and of joy? And then Acts 2 helps me to understand something of this togetherness, of this eating and sharing a meal. It tells me how to understand how believers lived in those days. And verse 46 and 47, and you can read it back home again, tells me the following. They shared what they had. They shared what they had. Telling me about humbleness. Telling me about caring for one another. And I hear, as I said, they were happy. They had joy in their hearts, and they praised the Lord. In a book of a South African writer called Rieta Finger, her book is called Widows and Meals. She explains the context of what we would have found in Jerusalem in those days. She explains that houses were obviously densely compact onto each other, and that communities would not have soundproof windows or soundproof walls. And you would quite easily hear what was going on in the neighbor's home. And when they would have meals, meals would be something in the celebration that we've just heard that other people would exactly know the ins and the outs of your family when listening in or tapping in to the conversation. Now, regardless of the closely knitted homes, as I said, the walls was not soundproof, and people, families lived on their own. And then Rieta Finger, she explains, she says, but Jerusalem was also a place for people seeking a place of refugees, or even a place where people would get together, not having family, not having any connections with others in the city. It would be someone who would live in rural areas and then seek work or an income or support of some sort within the city walls. And they would also be part of the setting. And then she tells, she goes on later by saying, so we'd have quite poor people in there and some rich people, which would mainly be farmers in the region or businessmen in the region. But everyone would be integrated in some form in society. And then she goes on and tells us, but it's much needed that you had to be integrated in society because otherwise you would not survive. It's a very interesting thing in this concept of the world we live in today. Because we are quite an individualistic society where everything is the way I do it and I don't care much about other people or what their thoughts or feelings are. But when we get back to Acts 2, I hear something quite differently. I hear there's an order. I said, all right, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Great sermon. Fellow believers were added. But then something else happens. The believers, in the way they lived, the way they ate, the way they celebrated life, that was the setting forth of the gospel. And it helps me think of who I am as a believer. And many a times, I would set apart, take myself out of my own shoes and set myself apart from being a minister at all. And I would think myself in as a congregation member or a parishioner. And I'll ask myself, so what is needed to be a believer? How should I live? And then Acts 2 help me with that. Is it not the minister who needs to give a good sermon? For sure the minister needs to give a good sermon, or at least a good theological sermon with good foundation. And Peter did that. We saw that. We know that of Acts 2. But then something else follows. Because today I'm preaching unto you. And there's some visitors today, but there's not much new people here today. And therefore, the sermon of life continues after the sermon in the church. And that's the way we live and eat together. And then Luke very easily and quite in a simple way help us to understand that. It tells us there's actually just in verse 48, he tells us there's an easy way to this. If we are fellow believers, he actually arms it. He said the first thing is learn about God. It starts out, these believers, they came together and they learned about the apostles' teachings. Tim, help us. Yes, please, thank you. Are you willing to help us? Yes. Thank you. you can put this one at the top of the cross. Yes. So, in some way, there's tic-tac. Yes. So the first one would be vertically. As a believer is, I'm learning from the Lord. I'm learning from new believers. How do we do that? Practically, I read the Bible. I come to a service. I listen to a sermon. I read some extra Bible study books. I join a Bible study, whatever. But I learn from God constantly. And then, thank you, Tim. I'm so glad you're there. This is multimedia in a different way. And then the second part is actually horizontal. It tells us that when we are believers, we share things together. You can put that on the sidearm of the cross. We share something of what we have. And I'll come back to sharing just now. I share what I have, what was given to me by the Lord. We can say today, what could that be? It could be physical things I share, but it could also be the gifts I received from the Spirit. And then the one part is sharing, and the other part is eating. And I was thinking, eating, all right, but do we eat with believers? You can put it on this side. Thank you, Tim. What does eating involve with strangers? It asks something from myself. I need to give something, and I need to trust someone, and she needs to trust me to eat together. I need to give something. But in the process, Helen and I, all right, we know each other in some way now, Helen. But if I don't know someone, I'm hesitant. But the moment I start eating with her and she eats with me, I get to know her. Is it not true? I discover a new side of her. She discovers a new side of me. And we discover something new about life. And if Jesus tells us, I'm giving you life in abundance. I think that is part of it, discovering more and more. And then the last part in verse 48, if you have a Bible with you, you need to check if I'm right with verse 48. You can check it, Jenny, thank you. The last part is praying. So it's, Luke said it's easy. Learn from God, pray. And when I do it, I don't do it only on my own. It is a personal thing. But faith is also a giving thing. It's a sharing and a eating thing. And I said we live in a very individualistic world today. We love to do takeouts or takeaways. Do you speak of takeaways? We speak of takeaways, yes. I mean, I love this Chinese food in Elgin. It's just good. And it loves me more. But it's so easy. You go in, it's unpersonal. Hi, thank you. I'd like the sweet and sour chicken. Thank you. All right, wait 20 minutes, get it, go home. But if I share a meal, something totally different happens. I'm involved in other people's lives. So I would say from Acts 2, I learn it's not a takeaway. To live as a believer is actually a sit-down meal. It's a sharing meal. And we can easily say, I don't need other people. I can get on my own. It's true, we can. But if we are deeply honest with ourselves, we do get into trouble sometimes in life when we need others' support. When we go through very tough times and we can't make it on our own. And I was describing you the context of Jerusalem that was needed for strangers to have support and getting through tough times, not only for families. And therefore, I would say, it's a very good teaching of Luke to say, yes, I would take time to share. Because sometimes in my life, I will need that as well. It's not using or misusing someone else. It's sharing the grace of God as a free gift. And that is what the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 comes to tell us. It's not about the blood in our veins which makes people family. It's the blood on the cross that makes us the family. And therefore you share it with one another. You are my brother and my sister. And so are the strangers outside, whether you like them or not. But that is what the Holy Spirit asks of us. And may you go into the week asking yourself, am I seeing this cross of Sunday? And a cross has many meanings. Do I see this? Do I pray to God? Do I learn from God? Do I share? And the difficult thing is, how do I eat? I saw Ilana's out now, went out with Fiona. But I would like to ask you, I brought some cookies or something. I'm not sure. I went to Tesco, I need to confess. I went to the free from shelf. I don't know. I'll tell you, this is only free from gluten. So if you can't have sugar, you can't have it now. Sorry. But I didn't find anything. What I would like you to do is take one of them. Don't take one for each. Take one every second person, all right? And just hang on to it, all right? Karine and Peter, can I ask you maybe to share it with us? I'll ask two of my friends just to hand them out. So every second person takes one. You cling on to it. You don't open it yet. Would you like one? I'm the second. Yes, you're the second. All right, 4-4. Thank you very much. 2-2. One between. Okay. There's still more. Don't. Yes, all right, if you want to. All right. Will you? All right, great. Oh, you got. I'm just going up to the gallery. Tom, will you? Thank you. So this is so easy. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Peter. Laura, do you have one? Do you have one? Shall we share? All right. So this is so easy. One of you, which has the cookie or the thing in his or her hand, you are allowed to open it. All right? Nora, you open it. And then one of the other parties take it. Sorry for the hygiene this morning. And then the other party who took it, they share it and they hand it. You can have the bigger one. And you can eat it, yes. It's a bit dry. It's a bit dry, but it is a bit dry, but it's gluten-free at least. So what happened just now? So I do share in more than I would just share in the moment of being in church on my own. Is it not true? I had to engage and interact with someone. I had to think, struggling getting the cake out of the wrapper, and then thinking and considering someone else and someone else considering me, giving, even in sharing a cookie like this or a piece of cake like this, sharing a part of myself, sharing a part of who I am and having value, giving value and having value. And that is what the Spirit tells us. Who we are, different gifts, as part of the family of Christ, you have value. Share it. Amen. I want to, while you have your piece of cake, I'm inviting my two friends from South Africa, Karine and Peter, to sing us a song. It's a song that we sing in the Dutch Reformed Church, but telling us the future really has a place of joy, of proclamation, of the second coming, of living goodness with you and other fellow believers. Can I use the organ?
But wait. that everything new, the heaven and the new earth, stole, but wait, but everything new, the heaven and the new earth. Everyone thirsty may come, drink from the fountain's water. God will be living with us, we will be living with him.
Still, but wait, but everything new, the heaven and the new earth.
Still, but wait, but everything new, the heaven and the new earth. Prior to praying, he knows he will answer your pleading. Heart, even before you speak.
Still, but wait, but everything new, the heaven and the new earth.
Still, but wait, but everything new, the heaven and the
Thank you, Karin and Peter. Thank you. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for having your word, blessing us with your spirit, blessing us with fellow believers, currently learning, and therefore we ask you to inspire us to be lifelong disciples, learning, praying, discerning, but then sharing and eating with others. On both sides of the table, whether it be givers or receivers, thank you for your grace. May we live from it this coming week. We pray this in your name, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We can serve the Lord with our offerings.
Can I just say to Atty's friends, thank you very much for sharing that beautiful song with us. Much appreciated. It was beautiful. When it comes to praying for others, the extent of need in the world is sometimes overwhelming, the urge to include everyone and everything. We think of family and community, but any topical national issues creep in, and this week has been momentous in this respect. Events at Westminster have become more bizarre by the day. News emerged from Zimbabwe of the death of the former president. Let us hope that memories and deep wounds do not lead to unrest there in the coming days. And all the while, the worst disaster of all, the devastating Hurricane Dorian, was wreaking havoc across the Bahamas, leaving in its wake loss of life, flattened homes, torn communities, and desperate families seeking refuge and aid. What can we do but pray, or we can send some money? And we trust that by supporting Christian Aid Week and the thrift shop, we are helping in some small way, because I'm sure Christian Aid will be in there. I know that all sounds rather depressing. Lots of good things have happened too, and we thank God for that. But let us bear all these things in mind as we ask God for help. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for those whose suffering and desolation are too great for us to comprehend, but we ask you to be near to them through the actions of others. Support those who show mercy and compassion by working with aid agencies to help the stricken. Strengthen those who have the courage to strive against oppression to bring peace and justice and make their countries a better place to live. We pray for the Queen and her family, for the Prime Minister, and for some stability in government. We remember members of our Scottish and local governments. Help them all to make decisions that we can support and approve of in these difficult times. Bless our Minister Atty and his friends and family, that he may continue to feel comfortable here. We think also of our Kirk Session and all who work so hard to keep the church functioning, the interior and the grounds looking well cared for, the banners changed with the seasons, the sound system working, and the music, not to mention but a few. Touch the hearts of the housebound, the sick, those in homes and hospital, the staff who care for them, and those who visit them. We remember the bereaved, coping with grief and loss, and the lonely and depressed who feel that they may have been forgotten. We mention them every week, but do we visit them? Lord, forgive us if we have fallen short. Father, bless the young children and young families in our community and help them to deal with the pressures of life today. And we remember our own families and ask you to watch over them as well as all members of our congregation. Be with our young people who have left home this week to enter university. Help them find their feet and make friends in that strange and exciting new world. And we remember also the proud parents who nurtured them and have found it difficult to let them go. We also think of young people starting jobs. May they find kindness and help in the unforgiving bustle of the workplace. Watch over our farmers as they endeavour to bring in the harvest in such changeable weather conditions. Father, we think now of the future of our church here in Longbride and Urquhart. We pray that decisions made ensure that we will always have a place of worship in this parish. Bless the leaders of all our groups as they start the new session. Inspire them to be continually open to new ideas to keep us going forward. May they not find us resistant to change. Finally, we give thanks for the ministry that we enjoy here at this present time and pray that it may be part of your plan for our future. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. Amen.
Thank you, Molly. Our closing hymn, 256, I think it's a Spanish hymn, but we will only sing the English. It's quite an upbeat hymn, but yes, let's sing this, and it actually confirms what we learned this morning from Acts chapter 2, about fellow believing. Thank you. The Lord will set out before you to prepare your way ahead. The Lord will be behind you to shelter you from the onslaughts of evil. The Lord will be beside you to enfold you in his loving arms. He will be underneath you to pick you up the day when you might stumble or fall. The Lord will be above you to bless you. And the Holy Spirit will live and dwell within you so that you may live from his grace. Amen.